Well, turn please for our scripture reading to Mark chapter 5. Gospel of Mark and the chapter 5. Last Lord's Day morning we were looking here at the deliverance that was given to the man that was possessed of many demons. We saw how his name was Legion. Not necessarily that he was born with that name, but that name had been given on account of the fact that so many demons were possessing him. The legion of soldiers had referred to a number between 3,000 and 6,000, although sometimes that name legion was used just to express a very large number, but it seems that there were at least 2,000, and that 2,000 pigs then had the spirits entering into them and ran down into the sea. We're going to read from the verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and the verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts, or out of their district. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, again in prayer. We need the Lord's help as we come around his word, and let us seek his face then, please. Our gracious Father, we do thank thee for the wonderful change that the Lord does make in the lives of those to whom he intervenes. And Lord, we thank thee for those in this meeting that can say, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And we pray, Lord, for those that as yet know thee not, O Lord, we pray that this very day that they too will come and experience the power of God be upon them. Lord, we pray for that deliverance that only God can give. Lord, we do pray this day that there will be those gloriously delivered from the chains that have bound them. Oh Lord, we pray then for that help of the Holy Ghost to be given. We thank thee that this is not the word of man, but we come to the living word of God. We recognize then that we need the help of the Holy Spirit of God in order to preach and in order to hear. Oh Lord, come we pray and seal thy word on every heart. Give that unction that is needed. In the Lord's great name we do pray. Amen. Amen. The transformation of this man from the Gadarenes must have been one of the greatest transformations that the world has ever seen. For as the details are given in the early part of the chapter as to the condition of this man before his conversion, he was indeed in a most miserable state. He was a man that was untamable, uncontrollable, unstable, unclothed. But then in great contrast in the verse 15, we read of how he was now sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And a man who had continually roamed was now sitting in peace. He had experienced the truth of those words of the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the rest that he had never known was a rest that he had now experienced, having been set free by Jesus Christ. A man who had been naked was clothed, not only literally, but spiritually as well. And that nakedness of his sin that had been exposed before a holy God was now covered over by the imputed righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. A man who had been effectively a madman was now sitting in his right mind. And where was he? In Luke 8 and the verse 35 says that as he was sitting at the feet of Christ. Sitting at the feet of Christ. And what a change this was then. A man that had refused to sit at anyone's feet was sitting at the most beautiful feet this world has ever seen. The feet of our blessed Saviour. And to sit at the feet of has the idea of learning. Remember how Paul, in his unsaved days, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. That is, he was instructed by Gamaliel in the law of the Jews. And as we think then of this man sitting at the feet of Christ for this period of time between the men who were herding the pigs going to the city and to the country and then coming back again. In that interval of time, this man had sat there and listened to all that the Lord had taught him. And such was that hunger that he never wanted to leave. Such was his hunger to hear more from the Lord. He never wanted to be parted from the Lord. And so in the verse 18, when he was come into the ship, that is, when Christ came to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. As the Lord Jesus got into the boat then, was about to make his journey back to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the man, he was saying, can I not come as well? I don't want you to leave without me. I don't want to spend time without you. I want to be in your presence and to hear more of thy blessed word. And yet the Lord said no. In verse 19, Jesus suffered him not. The Lord did not allow it. And while this request was a good one, what a wonderful prayer this was. Please, Lord, let me stay. While it was a good one, the Lord said no. And it's even more significant as we think of the context in which these words were spoken. Because this prayer that was prayed here, this request
is actually one out of five requests that are made through this particular incident. And out of the five, four of those requests were granted what was requested. But this one man, the man that had been delivered, his request was not granted. First of all, there were requests by the demons. The demons had made requests of the Lord. If you look at the verse 7, and the man here is crying, but as I showed you last Lord's Day, it's actually the demon speaking. He cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And I showed you last Lord's Day that those words relate to the demon saying, "Do not cast us into the bottomless pit. Do not cast us out at this time into the abyss." Then in verse 10, they made another request. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And then in the verse 12, they said, "Send us into the swine." And as we think of the demons, as they made these requests, they were granted. At that time, they were not thrown into the bottomless pit. They were not sent far away into another country. And they were permitted to enter into the pits. But then there was also the request of the local people. Because if you notice with me in the verse 16, it says, "And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine." And in verse 17, they began to pray him to depart out of the coasts. And these men from the area, the men that owned the sheep and others that, or the pigs rather, the men that owned the pigs and others that came with them, they were pleading with the Lord, "Don't stay. Get in the boat that you came in and go back to the other side." And again the Lord granted the thing that they had requested. He left. So the demons got what they wanted, as far as what they wanted at that time. The men of the city got what they wanted, as far as what they wanted at that time. But this man that had been newly transformed, newly delivered, his request was not granted. Because the Lord had something better for him. And so while he desired to physically be with the Lord had a task for him to do instead. So in verse 19, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, the Lord did not allow it. But the Lord said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Perhaps there are those times when it seems to you that the ungodly round about you, they always get their way. And yet when you come before the Lord and you cry to him for something, the Lord doesn't answer. Surely this passage brings to our attention that the Lord sometimes works in very mysterious ways. And there are things that we pray for and there are things that we long for, and the Lord says no. Or perhaps the Lord says, wait. But certainly we're not given a yes at that particular time. Because the Lord has something better for us. The Lord knows our needs and the Lord knows his plan better than any comprehension we have of it. So this man then was saying, "I long to be with you." But the Lord said, "Instead I'm going to send you to be a herald. Go home to thy friends and tell them." And that word "tell," it has that idea of being a herald, of publishing, making it publicly known, the great things that the Lord has done for you. And what I want to look at then this morning is the message of the man who had been demon-possessed. The message of the man that had been demon-possessed. I want to see, first of all, the summary of the message. For it says in the verse 19, "Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." And the Lord was given its world scope for this man's ministry. He's saying to him, as you go and speak, these are the things that you're to talk about. The great things that the Lord has done for you. And how the Lord has had compassion upon you. And so we have this basic outline of what this ministry would entail. How great things the Lord hath done. And to this man would go out and say, I once dwelt in the tombs. I once wandered around, cutting myself and crying out. I once was a man that everyone in the neighbourhood of strength tried to contain me and tried to chain me, but I was so wild I would break free. But then one day, the Lord Jesus came. And what the crowds around had failed to do, Jesus was able to do in an instant. He could speak the word, and it was done. He could say those great words that we have been singing. What a wonderful change. And my life has been robbed since Jesus Christ came into my heart. He could say, the Lord has done great things for me. And the Lord has done great things in me. And the Lord was now pledging to do great things through you. Go and tell what the Lord has done for you and in you, so that others might be drawn to experience something of the power of God in their lives. He was to tell how great things the Lord had done, and he was also to speak of the Lord's compassion. And hath had compassion on thee. And that word compassion has the idea of mercy. He was to speak much on the subject of Jesus Christ being merciful. And that word merciful, it has the idea of God, the one who has the right to pour out wrath, has in this time withheld it. Because one can only be merciful if they have the power, the authority to do something else. How could Christ show compassion? How could he have mercy? Because he was the one that could pour out wrath, deservedly so, upon this man. But instead, he showed mercy. Instead, he showed compassion. And the Lord emphasized to him, you are to make much of my person, who I really am. Because if you look at that verse 19, the second part of the verse, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee. And so he wasn't merely to say how great things God's servant has done for me, though Messiah is the servant of God. He wasn't merely to say, as people around would speak of Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, this is what Jesus of Nazareth has done for me. He was to say, this is what the Lord has done. This is what God manifest in the flesh has done. The Son of God who has come to this earth, has taken that human flesh, God manifest in the flesh, it was him that has done this. And this then was the message of this dear man, the man who had been demon possessed. His message simply was, I was a bound sinner, chained and governed by the devil, but now I am set free. And this man was not yet, I presume, a great theologian. He wasn't going to be able to spend hours disputing with the great teachers of the Jewish law. But he did have a great message. A very simple word of testimony. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And child of God, never be ashamed of giving that simple testimony. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And there are some Christians who say the giving of personal testimony has no place in the public worship of the Lord. And they refuse then to permit God's people to stand in the house of God and tell the great things that the Lord has done for them. What an utter distortion of the clear teaching of the Word of God.
The very commission that God gave to this man was go and tell. What was he to tell? The great things that the Lord has done. And if that is to be told in the streets, if that is to be preached in the house, how much more surely it is to be declared in the house of the Lord. How great things the Lord has done for me and has had compassion upon me. Here this man was given a personal commission from the Lord. He was given this pattern to follow. And it was a pattern that was followed by the Apostle Paul. And you think of the Apostle Paul, he was one that could deal with the lawyers. He was one that could sit down for hours and dispute with those that were expert in the Old Testament. And yet it seems everywhere that Paul went, Paul was like this man. While yes, he did speak much of the law of God and he did bring much of great theological truth, he would speak of how he was one that persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. He would speak of how he was a blasphemer. And he would speak then of that day on the Damascus Road when the Lord intervened. And I wonder, as you sit in this meeting this morning, have you got that testimony? Can you say, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me? I was lost on my way to everlasting destruction. I deserved the eternal wrath of God, but God, in great mercy and compassion, intervened and saved me. If you don't have that testimony, it's our longing that you would. It's our longing this day that you would have the encounter that this man had with Christ. That you would have a Damascus Road encounter. That you would see the greatness of Christ. And you would experience the greatness of the power of his deliverance. We have then here the summary of this message. But I want to see, secondly, thinking of the message of this man, the demoniac of Gadara, the significance of the message. It has a great significance historically, because in the verse 20, Mark 5 and the verse 20, it says, he departed and began to publish in the capitals. I've often said that there are no words in the New Testament or the Old Testament, indeed, by mistake. Notice that verse 20 doesn't say he departed and published in the capitals. But there is a little word there, began. And the word there actually has a greater meaning than is able to be expressed in one word in our English language. It actually has the idea of first. It has the idea of this being a turning point. Of this being a great historical breakthrough. And here we have then, as it were, the first sending out of one who would testify of the great things that the Lord has done. And we'll see later in the Gospel of Mark how the Lord would send out the 12 two by two. We'll find how the Lord sent out 70 to preach. The Lord sent out this man before any of that. And here then we have something of a turning point. A ministry that historically was highly significant. The Lord said to him, go and tell. And he did take God of his word. Because if you look with me, please, in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we have here the account of Luke of the same particular incident. Luke chapter 8 and the verse 39. It says there, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And so the Lord said to him, go to your house. And it's evident he did do that, because he went to the whole city, which evidently included his own house. He went to his own house, a place where he could never have entered in many a long day. A family that never could have received him for many a long day. But he went to them, and as he ministered to his family,
He went to the street. He went to the next street, and he went through that whole town. And he didn't stop there. For in Matthew 5 and the verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis. He published throughout the whole region. Decapolis actually there refers to 10 cities. And that region had that name then because of 10 cities of significance. And this was then the pattern that he followed. He started at home. He went to those that were closest. And gradually there was that expanding of his witness. And that is a pattern, of course, that we find through the Word of God. The Word was to be preached first in Jerusalem, in Judea, then Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And the witness for the Lord then, it begins at home, among those that know us most, among those that have known us longest. Then there is an expanding of that witness, telling others the great thing the Lord has done. So there was a significance historically. But there was also a great significance geographically. Because in verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, verse 19, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Go to thy friends. I want you to imagine this man going into his town and telling what the Lord had done for him. And he would tell, and of course they could easily understand the first bit, that he was a wild man, because they had seen it themselves. And then he would say, the Lord has now delivered me. And again they could see that he was absolutely changed. This was a transformation of marvellous degree. Surely one of the first questions in the minds of the hearers would be, well, where is this man now? Where is this man that set you free, that you call the Lord? Where is he now? And the man, he would explain, your friends told him to leave. And so he was here, but the men of the district, they have driven him out. They have told him to get away from this place. And surely then the sending of the demoniac of Gadara to tell the people of that region was of something great significance geographically. Because here was a region that if the Lord had not sent this man, would not have heard anything more of Christ. But in great mercy, the Lord, having delivered this man, sent that very man to tell the message that the pig farmers and others didn't want to be heard. They said, we don't want it. But the Lord was saying, there are a people, despite your hardness, that will hear. There are a people, despite your hardness, that must hear. And here is my servant that is going to tell. Do not be ashamed then of the little message that the Lord has given to you. Because while there is a darkness that prevails around you, and there are many that would drive Christ from this place, praise God, the Lord still says to us, you go. You go and you tell the great things the Lord has done for you. Now, why was it these local people had asked Jesus to leave? They asked the Lord to leave because they were afraid. In verse 14, it says, they that fed the swine fled. And the word there actually has the idea, they fled in fear. And so they had this job of looking after the pigs. The pigs were now gone. And in fear, perhaps fear of consequences that might follow from their employers. In fear of the very unusual event that had taken place, they ran and they told the farmer's how that it wasn't their fault. It was this other man that had cast the demons into the pigs. I want you to notice then verse 15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And so first we have the people that actually witnessed it. They were afraid. And the people then that were drawn to see the event after it was finished, they were afraid as well. Now, you think of those particular people. Before that miracle, they had been afraid. They had been afraid of this demoniac of Gadara. That was why they had tried to chain him. That was why they had tried to bind him. They were afraid of him. But now, after the miracle, there was a different type of fear. And we have that same type of principle in the incident before that we looked at a number of weeks back, the calming of the storm. Remember how in the midst of the storm, the disciples were afraid. And then after the miracle, after the calming, they were afraid again. But it was a different type of fear. For the disciples, they were afraid with a holy awe. And they saw how unworthy they were. And yet that fear, while they felt their unworthiness and how undeserving they were of the presence of Christ, they still wanted to be with him. But for these men, it was different. They had been afraid of the demoniac. Now they were afraid in a different sense. But it was not a fear that drove them to want to be with Christ. But it was a fear that they wanted to be rid of him. They didn't want to be in his presence because they feared the power of Jesus. If you look at verse 16, they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And so the fear had something to do with the pigs. And the fact that the Lord was able to take those demons and to permit them to enter into the pigs, and then the pigs would run down and crash into the sea below. There was a demonstration there of the power of God. They had never seen anything like this. They had never been able to in any way contain this man to any degree. And now they saw the power of God, and they couldn't fully explain it. They couldn't understand it. And because they didn't understand it, because it was contrary to the natural man, they rejected it. You see, that's like the natural man today. As the natural man is confronted with the power of Jesus Christ, whether in creation or through most especially the revelation of Christ in the Word of God, they do fear because they can't readily explain it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And therefore, he puts the idea of Christ as revealed in the Word from his mind. They feared the power of Christ. They feared the presence of Christ. Because as they stood there in the presence of Jesus, his presence was disturbing them. I believe they came to sense their own sin. For here were men, and they would often have said, "Surely we'll be all right the way we are, because we're not like that man, Legion. We might break the law here or there," and they did, because they were pig farmers. And the keeping of pigs was the keeping of that which was unclean. And so whether these men were Jews, as some believe, or Gentiles, as others believe, this was an area of both Jews and Gentiles, and therefore we can't really be sure either way. But either way, they were living contrary to the law. And as they had the presence of Christ before them, they were disturbed, and they didn't like it. So they said, "Leave us." And then I believe they not only feared the Lord's power and the Lord's presence, they feared the purging or the purifying of Jesus. The Lord had purified, the Lord had purged Legion by casting out the demons. You think of these men, they are now confronted with the reality of their own sin. All have sinned. No matter if they were as bad as Legion or not, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if the Lord intervened by casting out sin, these men saw, "Is this what the Lord is going to do to me? Is the Lord going to cast out my sin? Is the Lord going to
deal with that which I love. And they loved their sin so much they didn't want to part with it. And in the folly of the natural man, they said, we don't want you here. Leave our presence. And how many there are in hell today. And they are there because there was some sin that they didn't want to give up. Perhaps the drink. Perhaps the gambling. Perhaps their immorality. And their sin was exposed. And they said, well, not as bad as the other person. And they wouldn't give up that sin. And they were determined that they would never be forced to. And for the sake of holding on, they rejected Christ. They said, I will not have him. You see, these men had all their priorities wrong. They loved their pigs more than people. They loved their business life more than souls. And they would rather have seen Legion dead than to have lost their pigs in that sea. And these days we witness all around us continually the problem of distorted ideas and priorities. And we think of the greenies. They're more interested in bugs than babies. And they'll have an outcry if a tree is to be cut down and some bugs are to be destroyed. And yet, when you think of a precious child in the womb, they say, destroy it. It's worthless. And what manifestation there is of the depravity of man's fallen heart. And while we condemn the greenies for that, how much worse are those that have the gospel brought to them and they say, I will sell my soul just to hold on to some sin. What folly that is. And oh, today, dear sinner, that you would see, what is it to gain the whole world and yet to lose your own soul? Oh, today I plead with you that as the Lord would reveal your need, that you would not say to him today, leave me. That you would not say to the Lord, I don't want to hear that message again. That before the Lord you would say, I repent, I come. No matter how hard it will be, no matter what will be necessary to be cut out and to cast away, my Jesus, I come to thee. This was then a message of significance, geographically, historically. But I want to see, thirdly, the surprise at this message. Because in the verse 20, he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. All men did marvel. And the people saw this man. While, yes, there were some that didn't want to hear the whole story, they couldn't help but be amazed at the change. They couldn't help but have to acknowledge that this was something they could not readily explain. They had longed that that man somehow would be controlled and tamed, but it couldn't happen by mere human intervention. But the Lord did it. And certainly there was a great work done. Because if you look with me, please, over a couple of pages in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 31. And the Lord had been in another Gentile region. And he was making his way back then to the Jewish regions again. But in verse 31, again departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And so when the Lord came back from Tyre and Sidon, he deliberately came down that east side. And so he didn't immediately make his way to the west coast of Galilee. He came deliberately to the east. Verse 32, they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. I want you to think of that. Here was a man in Decapolis. And when Jesus was passing through, they brought him to Jesus. But this was not a place where the Lord had often ministered. How then did they know that Jesus would be able to intervene. The most obvious solution to that difficulty is this, that this or these people had heard the message of the demoniac of Gadara. And as he had gone and spread through Decapolis this great message, it wasn't wasted. He cast his bread upon the waters. And just as God's word is promised, he found it again after many days. Let us not despise the opportunities the Lord has given. Let us not despise the opportunity to sow just a simple word. The Lord is able to take it and use it in a mighty way. But as we come to close, I want to ask simply the question. As you examine your heart before the Word of God, are you here like Legion? Or rather, are you like the crowd? Are you saying today, Lord, let me stay? Let me sit continually at your feet and learn? Or are you saying again to Christ, leave, I will not have you? Think back to those five requests that I mentioned at the beginning. The demons, they got their way that day. But there's coming a day when as they will cry out, cast us not into the bottomless pit. The Lord will not grant them that request, but they will most definitely be cast into the bottomless pit. No pleas for mercy will be heard. You think of those that rejected Christ and they said, leave us. One day, and eternally. Well, already for them, they will eternally regret their request. You think of those words in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord? What is hell? To be cut off from the Lord forever and forever. They would get what they requested, tragically so. And therefore, your final words to the Lord are important. But how much more the Lord's final words to you? What will the Lord's final words to you be? Will they be, depart from me, cursed, into everlasting fire? Or will they be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? And may you today, as a roaming sinner, be brought to sit at peace at the feet of Christ, one who is naked before God, brought to be clothed by his blessed finished work. We trust the Lord to bless his word to all of our hearts. So bow together, please, in prayer.